and welcome to The Two Tones. It's the official Carlton podcast with Tony DeBolfo.
Greetings, Tony.
And myself, Tony Moclair. It is episode 22.
Yes.
The Great Glen Manton.
Good call, Tone. Most impressed. And Neil Chandler wore 22, a man that came from down Yarram way, if memory serves, and didn't play a hell of a lot of games, but three of them were premierships.
Are you serious?
68, 70 and 72.
If
he was there for
mind.
All of them. Talk about right place, right time. Yeah. Great fellow, Neil Chandler, also. I think, you know, hailed from a dairy farming family down lovely end of Victoria and made the absolute utmost of the opportunities that came his way.
Was well very comfortable played, with Neil. Leather in his hands, obviously, with all those cows.
Very true.
You don't luck your way into a premiership team ever.
Very true. Although timing is everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, right place, right time. But yes, I agree with you, what you say there, Tony. You've got to be half reasonable to make the cut, and then to be there for the cut on grand final day. Well,
indeed,
you've made it, haven't you?
And you know, he was in some exciting games. Now, Tone, I didn't have the privilege of seeing this game because I was otherwise engaged on Saturday night. Hosting a quiz night at the kids' primary school.
Were you?
Yes.
I thought you might have snuck away to the Grandview to get a flash score.
Or no, but there was a ban on mobile phones, but there were Carlton supporters who were breaking that ban to keep me up to date with
How
the scores.
How dare they hold a trivia question at the same time as a Carlton West Coast game? No. I'm offended by
that. Heathens, heathens all. But look, what I do know, Tone, is that you can add this to the chapter of gallant defeats of 2017. Carlton for the seventh time going into the last quarter leading. You and I were very optimistic about this game.
I certainly was, Tony. I think what sort of accentuated my confidence a little bit was the fact that there was rain over there, which I thought might have assisted the team.
Yep.
And looking back on the game, you know, once again, it was one of those games of lost opportunities, as you say. You know, again, another one that got away. I know Brendan Bolton was quite bullish afterwards in saying that, you know, the Carlton team has been in a lot of contests this year.
Yeah.
And, against, you know, bona fide opposition teams that are probably gunning for September glory. So while it is disappointing that we didn't get the chocolate, so to speak, yes, it is heartening to see the team, you know, fight out these games and particularly hang in for what has been a long season.
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been too much joy these past few weeks on the scoreboard at least, but I think we can take some solace from the way the team is playing and the lessons that I guess will be learned from, you know, these close encounters, which unfortunately we've just been falling on the wrong side of the ledger.
A couple of things come to mind with what you said there and all the available on carltonfc.com.au. Liam Jones in his post-match interview talked about the effort required to actually, you know, come back. He talked about what a great comeback it was and how disappointed the team were not to, you know, prevail in the end.
Yes.
But there was also a thing about Neil Craig, who's leaving the club this week, but he said supporters should be very upbeat about the shape that Carlton is in at the moment. And you look, and they've made that point, that travel over the other side of the country, West Coast are gunning for finals, and Carlton just didn't roll over.
No, very true. And you know, when you think back to the early parts of the game, you know, particularly the second quarter where there was so many very gettable shots on goal that unfortunately went awry.
That's cruel to, you know, in every game.
In every game, there's just been those little moments. You know, we won the toss, kicked with the breeze in the first quarter and drew level. It was reasonably close by the first change, but I just thought that period in the second quarter where, you know, the visiting team had opportunity to, you know, nail those shots on goal, didn't take them. And I can remember thinking at the time, you know, these are going to come back to haunt.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they did. But, you know, as we said earlier, Tone, the team was in that contest for a long, long time. And, you know, you take Josh Kennedy out of the equation, you know, six-goal haul from centre forward. What a great game he played.
I won't go there. Anyway.
But
very interesting article in the Herald Sun yesterday about how West Coast enjoy the rub of the green. more so than any other team.
Oh, look, there's no doubt about that. And I mean, the same was suggested by, I think, the Richmond coach down at
Geelong. And the statistics back it up. Definitely back it up in the case of West Coast to a margin that is mind-boggling. The Blaine Borkhurst goal...
It was a fair goal, wasn't it?
It was. It was, you know, through heavy traffic... It was Betsian in its audacity.
Yes, well, we won't go there either, Tony. But however, I dips my lid to Blaine Borkhurst. That was a fantastic goal. And, you know, there's a fellow that I guess was ideally suited to the big open spaces in WA. And it was an outstanding individual passage of play, wasn't it, to nail that one? A real team lifter. I thought it was
put Carlton up.
Well, it did. You know, it was a pressure goal at a reasonably critical point of proceedings. What a shame we couldn't go on with it. However, these little glimpses that we see, you know, of our young troop of players, I think is what sustained all of us. You know, it's just been so heartening to see the individual brilliance of some of our younger players on show.
Speaking of which, Tone, the continuing journey of Jarrod Pickett continues to thrill.
Yes, and, you know, I noticed with interest that Jarrod was used up the field and really took advantage of the opportunity to use, you know, he's so quick off the mark, you know, and his capacity to break tackles I was quite impressed with, you know, and he's got tricks. Just an exciting player, you know. And when you think, Tone, that, you know, he really hasn't had a reasonable go at it since his career started up north, just through injury. I think he had a bad foot problem, if memory serves. So he's only just starting to find his way back. But what we've seen these past couple of weeks is, you know, an individual flair and a real pizzazz that Jarrod Pickett has. And, again, there's another player you mentioned that... who has an exciting career ahead of him, and that's going to be equally exciting for supporters watching on, because he's got that X factor, no doubt about it.
The journey of Blaine Borkhurst, who we just talked about then, you can go to the Carlton website, carltonfc.com.au, to vote on whether or not that should be goal of the year, because the person who kicked it is wearing a dark navy blue jumper. I would say it has to be. the journey, can we talk about the journey of Blaine Borkhurst? How do you see him, where he's come from and where he's going?
Well, it's taken him a little while, hasn't it, to sort of find his feet. He's a you know, he was taken, as we all know, relatively later on in terms of draft terms, you know. And I think that was the call of Mick Malthouse at the time. So, you know, he's a player that's still probably trying to find his feet. 23, he should be really starting to come through, shouldn't he, as a bona fide senior player. Look, been heartened by his recent performances. You know, he has an opportunity, I suppose, to finish off the season now on a good note, and that will hopefully put him in good stead for, you know, the pre-season and beyond. So... when it's all said and done, Tony, I think we look back on 2017 as the season in which our youth really started to emerge. And, you know, maybe you could put Blaine into that category, even though he is slightly older than the Charlie Curnos and the Jakob Vieterings of this world.
Yes.
So, but yes, we look on with promise and much anticipation, Tony.
The games of Samo and Jack Silvani.
Well, again, Jack, you know, two good goals. You know, Fluff one, if memory serves, that, you know, did hurt us at the time, but backed it up. A smart player, Jack. We've often gone on record as saying what a heady player he is. You know, he's got real nous for a kid that's only really starting out in his playing career. And he's a player that just seems to be getting better with every game that he plays. Petrevsky Seaton, I think with Samo, it's just the poise that he has. You know, one of those players that seems to have forever to get rid of the ball. You know, you think of players like Reece, you know, the hero of 87. Ooh. We often think of Reece as having, you know, half an hour to get rid of the ball. You just seem to float across the ground and I love the way Petrefki Seaton plays. He doesn't panic when he's got the ball. He's clean the contest and invariably he uses a footy to Carlton's advantage. And it's, you know, I just keep reminding myself that he's a kid that's come from, you know, the top end, you know, up the other far end of Australia and hasn't had a pre-season. And here he is slotted into the midfield and has taken all before him and looks at home. And it's staggering when you think how capably he has played in such a short period of time for Carlton. And, you know, he's going to be part of the machine for a long period of time, I would suggest, Tone.
Well, you'd have to just give an enormous thumbs up to the recruiters there who spotted that talent and, better still, got that talent to, can you imagine moving all the way from the Kimberley to here?
It's staggering, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's staggering, you know, the cultural, you know, and environmental and sociological upheavals that he's had to, and he seems to have done it with aplomb. But in mentioning the recruiting, Tony, I was thinking about the recruiting earlier, and you have to say, if you reflect on the past 2 years of Carlton's recruiting, they've made every post a winner. Yeah. You know, they have not made a bad call. Again, won't be long before they're stepping up to the plate again. I'm sure they're going into the next draft, you know, having, exhausted every avenue and every line of inquiry. We will watch with interest to see how Messrs Silvani and Brody and co fare in the draft this year, because you'd have to be confident that they're going to get top-end talent back into the more top-end talent into the club, just as they have done these past 2 years.
I'm going to just go and make a blanket statement here, Tony. Yes. As a supporter, that I think few things have engendered more faith in the club than the resurgence in, I don't know, our fortunes in recruiting.
Yes.
And getting Soss back, and to seeing the quality of who's been recruited and the fact that we know these players are going to be around for a long time. Mm. I think nothing signals to the supporters more that the club is fair income and a new order has taken over.
And I think it's a great point that you make, Tony, because every supporter I've spoken to, they understand the narrative here. You know, they understand where the club is going, what it's trying to achieve. They appreciate that there is direction and that this is part of an organised, controlled plan to take Carlton forward. And I think collectively, what the supporters are saying is, in Bolton and in Soss we trust.
Yes.
And that's exemplified by the way these young blokes are playing, and that's got to be good for Carlton.
I'm into that. Before we get to an important retirement from the club that definitely needs to be acknowledged, 3-2-1s.
3-2-1s. Easy job for me this week, Tony. Yep. I've gone for the old firm. So I've gone for Bryce Gibbs with one vote.
Excellent.
I've gone for Mark Murphy with two.
That's
and
handy.
I've gone for, well, my early call for the John Nicholls medal, the great Matthew Cruz, three votes. What a year he's had.
Oh, that was that rattling you heard was me fisting the air. Because
I thought it was your loose change.
No, I just love Matthew Cruiser. Now, after almost two decades of service with the AFL, Carlton's Directing of Coaching, Development and Performance, Neil Craig, former coach of the Adelaide Crows and has been a loyal servant of the Carlton Football Club, he's departing to sunnier climes.
Yes, and a great football person to boot. Tony, he's had a long time in the game as a player in the Sandville and, of course, as a coach at a variety of places, Adelaide amongst them. And I just happened to catch up with Neil earlier before we came on air, and he mentioned that he was staying on in Melbourne. I thought he may have gone back to the City of Churches, but he's quite happy in Melbourne town. And I told him, it is a good place, and sooner or later the new Crow Eaters come around to it. So,
well, I think Stephen Kernahan obviously got that memo as well. Speaking of, Sticks and the team, the 87 team, will be there at Etihad Stadium this Saturday, 7:25 p.m, Carlton v Hawthorn, a reunion of the 87 Premiership team.
30 years on, Tony, who would have thought? You know, I'm sure it's going to be a bit cooler this time around than it was Grandfall Day 87.
Oh,
it was 32 in the shade.
Yeah.
The day that Michael Tuck wore a short sleeve Guernsey. I always thought we were half a chance when I saw Tucky running around in short sleeves. But the good news,
you mentioned David Rees-Jones, and he got the Norm Smith that day.
He got the Norm Smith that day. Rees was in the club club late last week. I caught up with him, and a question was put about, you know, the Norm Smith, and he said, "Well, I'm so glad that I won the Norm Smith because if I hadn't, I'd be forever remembered as the most reported player." So it was a fair comment he made. I will say, Tony, that I believe there's only one apology. Peter Dean, who I think has coaching commitments up in Northern Victoria, won't be able to get along. It's my understanding. But the good news is that Mark Naley, who actually wore long sleeves into that game just to for that psychological edge over the jaded Hawthorne outfit, has battled his own health problems the last 12 months with a series of surgeries on a brain tumour. I'm told he'll be there. So it's a great thing that he's coming across, and loves Carlton Nails, and what a player he was for the club in 1987, a great year for Carlton and for football.
It really was. And if you get there, you can get one of 1,987 Stephen Kernaghan bobblehead dolls.
Very nice indeed. Very nice indeed. Yes, that will be snapped up. They will be snapped up, I'm sure.
They will be collector's items indeed. All right. Well, thank you, Tony DeBolfo.
Pleasure, Tone. Love the chat.
And get on down to see Carlton, as I said, 7:25pm, August the 19th, Carlton v Hawthorn at Eddie Had Stadium. Carlton's last home and away game for the season. This has been the Two Tones. Thank you to our producer, Grace, and we will catch you next week.
Goodbye from us.